ask the Lord maybe please to help me. I'll ask you to look at Psalm 126, and I shall read verse 5. Psalm 126, and reading verse 5 as our text this evening. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. This psalm is not really a psalm to be torn to pieces in various little parts. It is one part of God's most holy word as speaking with regards to the returning of the captivity of his people. It was so indeed before this was so before David lived, and again after he was king of Israel. And it has been so in many a time in the history of mankind, yes, and in our nation also, that the Lord has turned us again. And in this day we live, how we need the Lord to turn us again, even unto him. To turn to him with our whole heart and with our whole mind. Yes, because we surely see the Lord is not smiling upon us nationally. Is he smiling upon us denominationally? Oh, I come further. Is the Lord smiling upon me? Is the Lord smiling upon you? Are we causing to bring many frowns upon us? Or is there any pleas really rising up from the people that the Lord will have mercy and compassion upon us? And so we read in the first verse, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. When we have a dream and we awake and we begin to wonder whether those things have really happened. So when the Lord appears for us, oh, it is like that. It's not that, but like unto it. Why, that the Lord should appear for us individually or as a people. We also read here, the Lord hath done great things for us whereof we are glad. I say, is there anything that the Lord has done for you whereby you can say, I am glad he's done this for me? It's raised up a hope in my soul that he has not cut me off without a hope to spend eternity, yes, as a lost and ruined sinner. But he has done great things for us whereof we are glad. All of his love and free and sovereign grace. He's done these things for us, not on our invitation, no, but thus he quickened us first indeed by his grace, that we should seek his face, that he might do great things for us. Oh, I say, the exercise, the troubles, oh, with regards to this lack of knowledge, the lack of understanding, the lack of reality within us. Do I love the Lord or no? Oft it causes anxious thought. Am I His or am I not? The Lord has done great things for you. For when dead in trespasses and sins, we did not have that care or that concern with what the Lord has done for us. I say one of the great things the Lord has done for us, if He has laid that seed of divine truth and life in your soul, that therein it is now growing, and not growing indeed upon our own initiative, but no, by the grace of God. Oh, as Peter says in his last epistle, I think it is, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. You won't have knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ without His grace, and neither will you have His grace without the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not complicated, it's simple. It may be too simple for some, but I say, if the Lord has done great things for us, whereby He's done this for you, why, you will praise Him and plead with Him, yea, that He will neither leave you nor forsake you, but rather you shall continue, yes, in the love and teaching of Jesus Christ. Now coming to the word, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They that sow in tears, there is a people, isn't there, that sow in tears. Yea, they feel compelled to seek the God of all grace. They feel compelled indeed to seek and find Him, and it was in tears, because they find Him not, fearing that Jesus has no interest at all in you, and that you have no love to Him, neither has He any love to you. I say, they that sow in tears. It could be said, they that seek in tears, or they that go gleaning in tears. Yes, they shall come again. They shall be successful. That is not quite the right word to use, is it? Because we are not successful in anything. It is by the Lord's mercy and goodness that we have and obtain, is it not? Yes, for He gives it to His people according to His promise. Has He not said in His word, they that seek shall find? And whatever caused you to seek the Lord, seek by sowing, yes, many words to Him, like precious seed that is put into the ground. Oh, much exercise, much concern. Sowing oft times in the night seasons, as well as in the day season. You might say, surely people do not do that. Well, there is so sometimes, you know. Sowing by the moonlight. Sowing indeed by headlights of a tractor. Why do they do it? Because they know the seeing time is ordered and arranged by Almighty God. And they've learnt by the evidence and signs that soon the sowing time will be over, and the rain seasons will be upon them. I've got to get it done. I shall never forget, as a young man, when the corn drill had broken down, and there's no prospect of getting another one or repairing it quickly. But I took a seed lip and sowed the corn across the furrows in November, and it was a bright moonlight time, and people thought I was silly and stupid. At the time I spent the exercise, and yet you know, the Lord honoured it, the Lord blessed it, and there was an excellent crop that followed. Much effort, friends, was put into it. Much strength was given. Oh, my friends, much prayer was up unto God to help me to do it, for there was no one else available or able to do it. My friends, when we come into exercises like this naturally, it will not lift you up with pride. It'll humble you by sweat and tears. I say, but it's got to be done. How much more so the urgency of those sweat and tears that come upon us when we have the notice given to us that we are condemned, that we are under the law, and that the word tells us, the man that sinneth shall surely die. Did you always consider this? Did you always concerned about it? Nay, my friends, when dead in trespasses and sins, to use a worldly expression, we said, I couldn't care less. I'm having my fling. I'm going to enjoy myself while it lasts. I say the hardness and the wickedness of our heart, it was there until God Almighty put forth his hand and showed us the front. Oh, brought to that solemn place, give me Christ, or else I die. Die I must, unless I have Christ, unless Christ saves me from my sins. Will not the time of pardon and forgiveness come? Will there not be found a union between such a sinful, wretched I and the Lord Jesus Christ himself? Oh, I say, they that go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, does Satan come and say to you, but what is the use? Is it worthwhile you attending to the means of grace, of taking your Bible at home, and they falling down before him in humble prayer? Oh, what weeping in anxiety, and weeping in under fierce temptations of Satan. Weeping indeed like the spouse when she said, seen ye he whom my soul loveth? Why, she was made to inquire, yes, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And even the virgins said, oh, but what is your beloved more than my beloved? We know that so naturally, don't we? There's a difference, isn't there, between that one whom we're joined together in natural love. How much more so? Oh, there is that difference between those who love the world and those who are brought to love the Lord Jesus Christ, my beloved. Why, this is the difference between my beloved, she says, and she gives a full explanation of what her beloved is like. And to those who never knew him, he is nondescript. I say, is the Lord Jesus Christ nondescript to you? Or can it be said, my beloved, this is my beloved, and this is my friend. It does not matter it doesn't matter how much you speak against him or what you say of him. He is my beloved and my friend, because he has made himself so unto me. Gone forth weeping. Yes, sowing in tears. Yes, how true that is. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Reap in joy. I say, do you know what it is to reap in joy when he has come to you at midnight? When he's come to you, yea, in the backside of the desert, when he's come to you in the wilderness, where he's communed with you, poor sinner. We read of in the Song of Solomon that inquiry, don't we? Who is this coming up out of the wilderness on the arm of her beloved friend? They did realize who it was eventually. Yes, she was coming, leaning upon the arm of her beloved. She found him in a wilderness. I say, what a wilderness we now prove this world to be. Yes, we have to say, begone unbelief. My Saviour is near, and for my relief will surely appear. I say, what a transformation in a poor sinner's heart when the Holy Spirit comes down and quickens them into divine life. Yes, it is by grace that we are saved, and not of ourselves. I say, gone forth weeping, bearing precious seed. There may be some here tonight in the even tide of life have been seeking the Lord their whole life long. That is so sometimes. But you see, man's life, the span of it, is nothing to God Almighty, who reigns and lives eternally. It may seem such a long time to us. How many times have you said, and will not the Lord return no more? Why, of course, they go forth weeping and bearing precious seed. Lord, thou hast said, thou didst say, when I was but a child or youth, yea, in the springtime of life, when I was in trouble, and now, we've through the summer past, the leaves are falling fast, I feel so bare and destitute. I say, how blessed is truth, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. We're told in the word that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it cleanses his people so that they are whiter than snow. Snow indeed is attached to those winter seasons. It may be cold round about, but I say how warm within that is when they come forth rejoicing, bearing precious seed. The thing that I long for, the thing that I ever wanted, to know that not only Jesus died for sinners, but to be able to say, he died for me, he died for me. Oh, blessed truth, it is when we seek for that personal assurance that Jesus died for us. It doesn't seem so pleasant and agreeable to some to speak of a personal assurance. I can only speak for myself, and I know this, and I believe that Christ Jesus came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And what I want to know, that he came to seek and to find me. That's what I mean by assurance. Friends, it is a serious matter. We're coming down fast to our end, are we not? When we shall be called out of this world, yea, to stand before a just and holy God. And I say, how can we rejoice in the day of our death if we have not that comfort to know that we are born again, that the Lord has pardoned and forgiven our sins? Yes, I have heard it said by some, and I wonder what they know of things when they say it, but though they were not born again here below, they were born after they died. I find no scripture warrant for such teaching as that. Oh, I say, let us lay that aside for at least for now, because the word says they shall come. They shall reap in tears, so in tears shall reap in joy. Do you remember what you sowed? I know for myself, you may laugh at me, that on occasion I've sown seed in a hurry and I've forgotten what I've sown there until it grows up. But you see, oh, I believe we remember what we sowed there. Isn't it this, God be merciful to me, a sinner? See that dear man on the cross? Yes, I often refer to him. Yea, he who had reviled the Lord Jesus Christ in his sufferings, but yet through the grace of God was changed in but a moment, completely, that instead of uniting with his colleague in crime, he says, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? My friends, one had no fear whatsoever, but that poor man, he had fear, and he sowed in tears. Some would say, too late now, it's too late now. Sinner, it's never, never too late. And Jesus is never too late. All that the Father hath given me shall come unto me, and he that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Friend, they rejoice indeed. Again, they rejoice in the Lord's goodness to them. Why, he cries to Jesus Christ and says, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Some would say, is that all he said? Friend, it doesn't matter about how long it was, but the reality of it, yes, how really meaningful to in his prayers to Jesus Christ and believing in Jesus Christ, that though he was a dying saviour, he would rise again, yes, from the grave to bring his people home to glory. So he says, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Reigned a well-taught man, in a brief amount of time. But friend, he received indeed the assurance that he was looking for. Yes, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. How much more does a poor sinner, a lover of Christ, want? How much more is he asking for? How much more would you have before you were satisfied? Or would you be satisfied with this? Oh, I say, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed. Why, some of us would look back to a time of early life when the Lord may have laid his word in our heart without us being, as it were, born again. But what I'm saying is, though we received precious seed, we continued in sin. And we are so ashamed, yes, of the prime of youth, where we were found and what we did. Oh, I say, until the time of reckoning comes by Almighty God and reminds us of these things. How he accuses us and says, the devil accuses us and says, you poured contempt upon what the Lord has given you. Do you ever think this hope for such a sinner as you? Why, when Peter, he declared he was the most valiant young man and follower of Jesus Christ, and that though everybody else would forsake him, but not Peter. You can rely on me, Lord, he said. Oh, I said, he said, I'll even die for you. But when put to the test, what becomes of him? What is shown to him afterwards? What must he have felt like? He heard that cock crow. He did, you know. For Jesus has said before the cock crow thrice, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice, three times. Oh, friends, I tell you what he felt like. I know what he felt like. He felt to be a complete failure. Complete failure. And what hope is there for a complete failure, my friends? This is what Peter had. Jesus looked on him. My friend, that broke his heart. How we need our hearts to be broken, to be made soft and childlike. Yes, whereby he should come forth rejoicing. Oh, that the Lord did not cut me off, though I proved to be a complete failure before men and before Almighty God. Yet still, indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ has said, I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. What is your faith like at this time? Do you feel certain and sure with such a faith as this? Are you positive you couldn't fail like Peter? My friend, one thing we need, and that is the prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They certainly bear fruit. I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. My friends, it is a solemn reckoning, isn't it, with us, when we are shown that in ourselves we're so weak. and that we're not sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. How sufficient do you feel you bit to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Take away the Lord Jesus Christ and you're finished. You're finished. You can't do anything. And only by the Lord Jesus Christ can the Lord bring you again, that you might be able to say, all my sufficiency is of the Lord. Or like the psalmist said, all my springs are in thee. Oh, blessed be his name. They sow in tears shall reap in joy. And they say, what joy? I've often thought of Peter. Often think of Peter, that he did leap in joy when he wrote those blessed epistles, and he leaped in joy in doing the Lord's bidding and telling him what he should do. He said, the Lord said this, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. It's a testing thought for each and every one of us. Am I converted? Often the word of the converted is used, but do we know the full meaning of it? What is the meaning of it? Converted. Out of self into Christ. Like the young man near Rotherfield, I think he lived up front, and he was a simple boy, and the local youths were mocking him and his religion, and they said to him, you can't prove the way to heaven, and neither can you show us the way to heaven. And he said, there is only three steps to heaven. The first one's outer self. The second one is into Christ. And the third one is out of the world with Christ into heaven. I say, and that was the testimony of the weak boy from France. My friend, what a truth that is. Oh, if you remember nothing else this night, think on that. Own it and honour it, that this is the only way, yea, for a poor sinner to be saved. They shall be found rejoicing at last. They shall reap in joy. I cannot but believe that in particular is referring to heaven. Heaven. We may feel to be mourners here below. Sometimes we may feel there's nothing here for us below. That is the contents of the world. But my friends, to be rejoicing here below in the prospects of heaven. Now that's a different matter, isn't it? Oh, that we can truly say, yes, and I shall soon be landed on yonder shores of bliss, and with my powers expanded to dwell where Jesus is. I should never forget being by the bedside of a dear young lady. She had a little family, and she was dying, and I did speak to her, and I said this, yes, and I should soon be landed which I shall soon be landed in those shores above. And she said, yes, and I shall soon be seated with Jesus on his throne. My friend, what a beautiful place she was in. She could say, I was free and freed from everything. I loved my children dearly. I loved my husband dearly. But the Lord can look after them. Amidst all my sorrows, I shall be rejoicing when I see him face to face. Friend, oh blessed be his name. These testimonies, they're good to remember, they're good to witness. And it's wrong for us ever to doubt or to question them. Friend, we have to die to really speak of Christ. Oh, to rejoice. To reap in joy. Now, I just want to say quickly here. To reap. Now, that is not, that's not easy work, to reap. No. It may look easy. We have to learn to reap, you know. Yes, indeed. It is hard work, even when you can do it. But to reap with joy, to see indeed the harvest bringing in, to reap in joy, in seeing things brought home that belong to Jesus Christ. This is his work, and it is marvellous in our eyes. We can sing in that third verse, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. O Lord, as the streams in the south, is it turn our captivity. Freedom, liberty, that will bring joy, won't it, to us, to see, oh, it is he that teaches us to reap down not only that which is good, but that which is bad and evil also. Do you remember the parable of Jesus? A man who sowed good seed in his field. Yes. And the enemy came and he sowed tares in the field. And when it was discovered by his servants, they came and told him. And they said, shall we pull those tares out? Why, my friends, this is the way we might think. But the master did not think so. He said, let them both grow together until the harvest. Until the harvest. Growing together. Is that so? It teaches us this, that we're not the judge. But when the harvest time comes, it will be plainly seen what is to be harvested and what is to be bound into bundles and burnt. Solemn teaching that Jesus sets before us. But what a mercy that we have such a Saviour, as save us from being bound up with the tares. Because he hath converted us, he has changed us by his almighty grace, that we might be his in the day of his coming. When I say the Lord's people shall reap with joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Yes, he'll be found there again, that he hasn't departed. The Lord has brought him back, has he not? bringing his sheaves with him, I say, how many sheaves have we got? To tell you the truth, we haven't got any sheaves, have we? But the sheaves that we bring are full of the Lord's goodness and of the Lord's mercy. That they are all to his honour and all to his glory. There's nothing for our honour, nothing for our glory. He that has brought you through deep trials, heard and answered your prayers. He that has showed you your sinful state and condition, and thus has brought you to believe in the Saviour. He brought you to believe in him and to cry, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Brought to that place where the Lord has worked for us and shown to us that our innocency is in Christ Jesus, because he imparts to us that imputed righteousness which belongs to him and him alone. Oh, what a sheaf that is. This no man cannot be sinned in no more. There's no condemnation to them that believe, because Christ died for them and he was righteous. He did no sin, he knew no sin, yet he died for sin. Oh, that his dear souls that he loved with an everlasting love, they should be saved, and that condemnation should never come upon them. Yes. Oh, what a word this is. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Is there any saying in their heart tonight, how long will they reap in joy? How long will they reap in joy? They'll reap in joy, from that time they leave this world until they step into heaven, are found there before him, without a veil between, when they behold him face to face, as the Saviour of sinners, who saved them by his grace. My friend, they shall reap in joy. And that will be forever and ever. It will never be forgotten. All the discoveries will be made known. And there's so many and so full. But who will they reap in joy with? Will they there be alone to reap in joy? No. Friends, I believe this. You'll reap in joy with those saints of old who once were sinners, whom he has saved by his grace. What union, friends. What union. We may mourn perhaps sometimes the breakup of union on us from time to time, or the coolness of union we may find in Zion. But I say there'll be no coolness there. They'll be united in one, in Jesus Christ, their federal head. Yes, they shall reap in joy. Joy shall follow. Oh, that which they've known here below. It's promised them. It will never be taken away from them. In heaven indeed, you'll be found with those who mourned here below, and knew indeed their sadness here below. How many may think we should know one another in heaven, but not as such as brethren, sisters, husbands, wives, no. But we should know one another in heaven as those who Jesus saved by his grace. Those who were sinners and were converted are from the world and the fall, converted to believe in no other than Jesus Christ. Amen.
Evermore abound in number 466.